you have your Bibles, it would be helpful if you could turn to Luke in chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at the passage that Jacob just read to us briefly. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" And the title of our sermon this morning is, "Who am I?" Well, who am I is a regular question which is asked in 2016. In my work capacity, we often have what are called behaviour or personality questionnaires, where we ask the question of each other in the team, "Who am I?" And some of you will have done things like the Belbin analysis or the Myers-Briggs personality questionnaires. And out of that, you begin to get an understanding of your personality, your behaviour characteristics, the "Who am I?" question. Are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? Do you hate being late for things? Or do you really not just mind? Is your desk at home or at work tidy, or is it a complete mess? Do you sort your sock drawer by colour and size? Or is it just a big pile of socks you just pick out of in the morning? We're all different, aren't we? We all have a different perspective. We all are different. If we ask the question, "Who am I?" around the room this morning, we'd come up with something different. There is actually a "Who am I?" Gallery at the Science Museum at the moment. And if you have the opportunity, we often try at Christmas as a family to go up to London to one of the museums. If you want to go up to London and look at the Science Museum, there is a "Who am I?" gallery. And it answers the question, what makes you uniquely you? The "Who am I?" gallery investigates everyone's favourite subject, themselves. What attracts you to somebody? What is your first memory? What makes you? "Who am I?" invites you to explore the science of who you are through intriguing objects, provocative artwork, and hands-on exhibits. Discover what your voice sounds like as a member of the opposite sex. Morph your face to see what you look like as you age. Or put your emotional responses to the test in our brand new interactive exhibits. Come now, visit now to discover yourself. I know some people here are into social media, some people aren't, but there's often questionnaires on social media about "Who am I?" You can see people Snapchatting their face many times an hour sometimes, eh, Kezia? We like to have this perspective of "Who am I?" The Who asked the question in their famous song, "Who Are You?" "I woke up in a Soho doorway, a policeman knew my name. He said, 'You can go home to sleep tonight if you can get up and walk away.' I staggered back to the underground and the breeze blew back my hair. I remember throwing punches around and preaching from my chair." Well, who are you? Who are you? Who? I really want to know, who are you? Who? It's a question we ask again and again and again. Who are you? Who am I really? It's a question that plagues the human race. Well, it's not a surprise that the Lord Jesus Christ, God who made us, knew that's a question we would ask of him. And the great question set before us this morning is, who is this Jesus? And this passage we're looking at together this morning is all about answering that question, who am I? And we're going to look at that in three ways. First of all, who do others say Jesus is? Secondly, who does Peter say Jesus is? And thirdly, who do you say Jesus is? So first of all then, who do others say Jesus is? Well, here at the beginning of the passage, there's this remarkable question from Jesus posing the question, who am I? Earlier in the chapter, passage we looked at last week actually, Herod had asked the question, "I beheaded John, who then is this I hear such things about?" And he tried to see him. So earlier on, Herod already asked the question, who is this Jesus? Jesus then answered with a miracle. We looked at that last week, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And we have the feeding of the 5,000. Well, that demonstrated that he is the Lord of creation. And Luke now asks the question again and poses the double question. Who do the crowd say I am? Who do you say I am? Who do others say? Who do you say? Now, why does Jesus ask this question now? I think it's important that we understand the context of this in the story of Luke that we're going through. This is just before Jesus was about to set out to Jerusalem for the last time. Later in this chapter, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, we read, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So just before he's going off to Jerusalem for the last time, he was about to leave Galilee, he wanted them to know who he is. That he is the Lord. Now, Jesus often prayed before a significant event, and I think that's a really good thing for us to remember right at the beginning of our message here this morning. Once when Jesus was praying in private, that's how our passage starts this morning. Once when Jesus was praying in private, and he prayed about what was going to be happening. He prayed about how he was going to answer these questions. He prayed about the future. He prayed before engaging the conversation that was about to happen. And he begins with a quiz about their opinions. Who do the crowd say I am? You get the idea. The average Hebrew on the streets knew he was excellent, that he had prophetic skills because he'd said things were going to happen or did things that had been prophesied earlier in the Bible, in their Bible, that he was supernatural. But most of all, they knew he was a prophet. In doing so, they miss by a country mile that he is the Messiah. I was trying to think of an analogy that would help us to understand that. And the best I could do, and it is a poor one, but the best I could do is by describing Tom Hanks, the world's most famous actor who has made the most money, has billed the most dollars of box office money, as a white American from the Midwest who's 6 foot tall, drives a Porsche and has a husky voice. Well, that misses the point, really, that he is the best current film star in the world. And it's a bad miss here when the crowds are describing Jesus as a prophet, as a good man, someone who's supernatural, who can do funny, who can do sort of odd things. It's an early revelation of how the people really miss the real Jesus. And millions today miss it too. Millions today believe that he is a prophet. The whole of Islam believes that Jesus is a prophet. But they miss that he is the Messiah. All Muslims believe that Jesus is a prophet. But they don't believe he is a saviour, a Messiah, the Christ, God's Son, who was sent to save us from our sins. And an increasing number today just don't believe it was true at all. They think it was all fiction. It was all made up. That sort of early liberal view, hundreds of years ago, has come back round again. Well, of course, it's just a load of rubbish, isn't it? It's just like Father Christmas or something. Well, many are moving back to that today. Other people say today, well, he's a good man. He lived an impeccable life. He had the height of morality. But that's it. I'm going to read you a quote that many of you will have heard before from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, which is an incredible riposte to that perspective. If you come across someone who says, well, of course Jesus is a good man. He lived a good life. He was very moral. But that's it. Then listen to this from C.S. Lewis. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Well, history teaches us you can pass any test on the life and sayings of Jesus and miss the point and be wrong. Thousands of young people last year will have done their GCSE in RE and got an A star and understand everything that Jesus did and the miracles that he did and the prophecies he made, but they will miss the point. They will miss the point that he is the Messiah. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But that simply isn't enough. And Jesus knows that. He's being very intentional here, and he asks the people, what do the people say? And then he responds with the second question. What do you say? So what does Peter say about Jesus as we move on to our second point here? A direct confrontational question. Peter, I've heard what you think the crowd say. I'm a prophet and a good person. What do you say? And then Peter replies with this great confession. God's Messiah. The anointed one. The long-awaited one. The superhuman being who would establish the perfect reign of God. The Messiah, not just a prophet. And so it is now. What we confess in our hearts and to others about Jesus is everything. Our doctrine, what we believe, in terms of it laid out in lines, won't save us, but we won't be saved without it. To understand that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the King, the Saviour, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was resurrected from the dead, and that he's coming back, what you believe and what you confess is everything. In AD 390, the Apostles' Creed was written. And that was written so that people could articulate and explain what they believed. At our previous church, which was an Anglican church, we said this weekly. And whilst it can just be background noise sometimes, and you can just get into the habit of repeating it, actually, the words are that clear confession. It answers the question, who am I? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. The doctrine in this is unbelievable. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. When we stand before Christ at the end of time, he will not ask you, what do others think? He will ask you, what do you think? Who do you say I am? And this morning, he's asking each of us, he's asking me, and he's asking you, who do you say I am? Which brings us on to our third point. Who do you say Jesus is? Who am I? We need to be prepared to give the answer. Reminds me of a story I heard of a man going through customs. Have you anything to declare? Well, I declare that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, I declare, says the customs officer. If you're brave enough when you go back, you can try that one. But answer in your own heart this morning. Who do you say Jesus is? That is the question. And is the most important question you will ever be asked. And Peter's response here was very clear. You are the Messiah. I'm going to end at that point, and we're going to play a song on here, which goes on for about 4 minutes, just for us to have a chance to reflect on that question, who am I? And if we can get the technology to work, we're going to listen to It's a group called Casting Crowns who have written this song called Who Am I? And the words come up on the screen. And just take the opportunity just to look at it and ponder in your own heart your personal response to that question, who am I? So if we can between us get that one going, that would be good. Thank you. Well, our prayer this morning is that you can say that you are his. Who do you say Jesus is? Do you say he is the Messiah? Perhaps somebody here has said that for the first time this morning in their own hearts. He is the Messiah, and can echo the words of that hymn that we've heard. Well, you've begun a good confession. To hold it, own the cross as your only hope, the blood of Jesus, and take a hold of that cross and follow him. Be prepared to answer in your heart the question, who am I, with Peter, the Messiah, my Messiah. Amen.